We are continuing our men's college basketball preview, the 68 teams that played in last year's NCAA tournament, and we are talking today with Jarrett Ramirez from Red Raiders Sports on 3 Sports, lead writer, recruiting analyst there, covering Texas Tech. Jarrett, how you been?
I'm good, man. Thank you for having me. Just excited to talk about it.
You bet. Yeah. Well, certainly, you know, right in the midst of a great football season, what's going on right now for Texas Tech, and you know, taking a look forward to what could be another fantastic basketball season. Before we get into it, though, Jarrett, let's go back to last year's team, the NCAA tournament, getting there, and the kind of team that they had, and what was your assessment of the year there for Texas Tech men's basketball?
I mean, obviously, if you make it to the Elite Eight, I mean, it's a phenomenal year, right? I mean, they're a couple minutes shy of making it to the Final Four, and, you know, they gave Florida, I mean, probably other than the national championship game, they probably gave Florida the best run for their money. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it was a great year for them last year. I think the additions they had did really well, but I also think, you know, they had some guys like some veteran leadership like Chance McMillan and Darian Williams and guys like that they brought in the year prior that took another significant step forward. Now as you're kind of looking ahead to this year, you're going to have to not necessarily replace those guys, but I mean, you're going to need some of your returners to step up in a big way, and then the additions are going to have to come along as well. So last year was definitely a significant step in the right direction. And I mean, of course, if you make it to the Elite Eight and you're a few minutes away from the Final Four, you're definitely satisfied.
No doubt. JT Toppin is back, and you know, a mighty, you know, there's a lot of you know, rumors out there of how much he was paid to, you know, return, whether that was you know, leaving the school or, you know, going to the NBA. But you know, when you're a second team All-American, a Big 12 player of the year, Toppin is going to be you know, he's going to cost some money. So I guess let's talk a little bit about JT, what he brought to the team last year, maybe what you in Texas Tech fans hope that he can bring even more to this year, and you know, how they were able to secure him.
Well, I mean, JT Toppin is an athletic freak. He's got a motor unlike many others that I've seen, but he's also really technical around the basket. I think he did a good job last year, kind of as the year went along, of being more comfortable using his non-dominant right hand. He's got a left hook that's really nice that he can get to very easily. But as the year went along, I think teams started to kind of key in on that, and he and the staff did a good job of developing that right hand to where he'd be more comfortable using it in games. He's prolific on the glass. I mean, he's a phenomenal rebounder because not only is he an athletic freak, but he also just has a nose for the ball. He goes and finds the rebounds, and then he's a good, you know, I wouldn't classify him as like a dominant shot blocker, but he's really good at just affecting how teams play in the paint. I mean, he's good at altering shots when guys go up to, you know, take shots inside, but he's also just such a presence down there because of how high he can jump, how well he is able to, you know, knock balls away sometimes. You know, teams would kind of steer away from that sometimes, you know, him and a guy like last year, Federico, really kind of held it down in the paint for that reason. I think one of the underrated parts of his game is his passing, though. He does a really good job of, you know, he'd kind of sit down in that low block and would start to back guys in, and teams would send a double team, and he'd do a really good job of, you know, feeding a cross-court pass, feeding a skip pass, feeding a pass out back to a shooter. And I think that's something that the staff has mentioned. That's a really underrated part of his game, is how well he can pass the ball. So really, from start to finish last year, you kind of saw an evolution of him and how he developed and just took another really big step from when he was at New Mexico the year before that.
Yeah. All right. So I know some other, you know, talented or, you know, key players from last year. You mentioned Darian Williams. He's now at NC State. Texas Tech also, you know, graduated a couple of very important players too. So take us through the rest of this roster. Who are some names to know within it?
I mean, the next biggest name besides JT Toppin, like you mentioned earlier, you know, there's all these rumored figures about how much it costs to keep him around. But another guy that they had to probably shell out some dollars for was Christian Anderson. I mean, he did a phenomenal job last year as a freshman guard of playing his role and even playing above that role sometimes. He's a knockdown shooter from outside. I think he started to do some things as the year went along of being able to create his own shot and not necessarily just having to rely on being a spot-up shooter. I think, you know, he's going to be expected to take another leap as far as maybe being more of a pure point guard. But I think he did a really good job last year of just being a guy that could count on to come off the bench and score some points. So So, I mean, he had a really good year last year. I don't think he was freshman of the year, but he was up there for sure. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, that's another guy that they're going to rely on pretty heavily. I think if you're talking about this roster, you've also got to talk about a guy like Lawan Watts, a transfer from Washington State. You mentioned, you know, they lost Darian Williams to NC State, and I think they're counting on Watts to come in and kind of be their, I guess, de facto Darian Williams replacement. He plays a lot like how Darian Williams did, kind of like that point forward role. He's a bit, you know, pretty big at 6'6", 225. But he's a bit more athletic than Darian Williams was. And I think that that's something that's going to be a new dynamic that he's going to bring. And I think there's a lot of excitement around Lawan Watts. And he was just named earlier Big 12 Newcomer of the Year for the preseason. So Lawan Watts, another one. I mean, he's got several other additions kind of scattered around. Tyree Bryan, Donovan Atwell. I think those are guys that they're going to expect to be shooters. And then they've added some big guys as well. But, you know, if you're really talking about maybe a main staple, you know, three or four players on this team, I think you're talking about JT Toppin, obviously, Christian Anderson, Lawan Watts, and then probably I'd say Tyree Bryan.
Yeah. Talking again with Jarrett Ramirez, talking Texas Tech men's basketball. He covers the Red Raiders, Red Raider Sports on 3 Sports, lead writer, recruiting analyst for Texas Tech. I guess, you know, Jarrett, taking a look at, you know, you mentioned the Big 12 releasing some preseason awards, JT Toppin, preseason player of the year, Lawan Watts, preseason newcomer of the year, and Tech was picked 3rd behind Houston and BYU. What are your thoughts kind of on the league as a whole, and kind of, you know, is that kind of where you would peg Texas Tech, or do you like them even higher than that?
You know, I think you could have arranged that top three really any sort of way you wanted to, and I think you would have been pretty accurate. I think Tech could have easily slotted in at 2nd. I think they're fine at 3rd. Mm-hmm. I don't think I have an issue with that. I think you just, again, I mean, you're looking at the amount of talent that's coming back in this league and the amount of talent that's just in it in general. The Big 12 has been regarded for several years now as the best league in college basketball, and I think it's going to stay that way. You know, Houston, of course, bringing back like Milo Suzan and JoJo Tugler, like those are huge for them. And then, of course, BYU with DeBonta, the freshman. I mean, there's so much talent in this league that, you know, like I said earlier, you could have picked any of those three at the top to be the preseason favorite, and I don't think you would have been wrong. I think especially with like this Tech roster, This is, I think people are looking at on paper as a better roster than maybe what they had last year, maybe a bit more well-rounded. And that was a team that went to the Elite Eight. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. It always is in the Big 12. You know, I'll need to kind of dive in as it gets closer to basketball season because I'm just so dug into football right now. But, I mean, again, like you're seeing the amount of talent coming back in this league and the amount of talent that's incoming. Like even like Kansas has a guy like Darren Peterson who was named the Freshman of the Year for the preseason. It's going to be an incredibly competitive league once again.
Right. Texas Tech did finish 2nd last year, won 28 games. They've won 51 games in Grant McCaslin's 2 years as the head coach there at Tech. And as you mentioned, still talent abounds on that roster despite, you know, some movement out of it. So, Jarrett, when it comes down to it, you know, given the fact that March is kind of a crapshoot from time to time, what constitutes a successful season there for Grant McCaslin in year 3?
You know, I don't know if you can bank exactly on, because like you said, March is a crapshoot. I mean, it's ridiculous every year. But, you know, the amount that they've invested, the time they've invested, the money I'm sure they've invested into this roster, I mean, you're building this roster to make a deep run in March. This is his 3rd year as the head coach, and he's talked about from day one, they want to be the players, they want to be the team playing on that first Monday in April. And so you don't make this kind of investment, you don't make these kind of moves, you don't build the kind of schedule that they've built without anticipating to put yourself in a prime position to make a deep run. I think you look at some of the teams that they've scheduled on this, the schedule. They've got Arkansas, they've got LSU, they've got Duke, they go to Illinois, and then they might even get a chance to play Purdue in the Bahamas. Like that's not even accounting for the Big 12 schedule that they're going to have. So this team is going to be battle-tested by the time they get to the Big 12 slate, which is something that I think they've missed in those first 2 years of McCaslin. The non-con schedule hasn't really been all that. And they went out this year and they kind of said, you know, screw that, and let's go schedule as many of these, you know, national powers as we can, and then that's how their schedule rounded out. So, you know, what constitutes a successful season this year? You know, you're not going to put the bar at Elite Eight or Final Four or bust, but I think you're definitely expecting to make a deep run in March, whether that be, you know, to the Sweet 16 or even beyond that. And I think they've assembled the roster to do that.
Yep. Jarrett Ramirez again covering Texas Tech for Red Raider Sports on 3 Sports. Jarrett, thanks a lot for the time. Really appreciate chatting Red Raiders with you again this year, and enjoy the rest of the football season and into basketball, all right?
Absolutely. Thank y'all for having me again.